You know, for us, it's about playing to a personality that we prescribe to engineer victory, to possess the ball. And a component of possessing the ball is not only time, but managing risk. And obviously, there's less risk with running the football than throwing it. And sometimes that's a component of the discussion as well.
That should be what everybody's talking about today. That quote right there. Mike Tomlin has a quarterback who has won a Super Bowl. He has a quarterback that one day is going to be wearing one of them fancy jackets and have a grotesquely inaccurate bust in Canton, Ohio. And he's talking about running the football to minimize risk? This ain't Kenny Pickett. This ain't Mitch Trubisky. I know that Russell Wilson hasn't played well in 4 weeks. But that was Mike Tomlin's answer when asked, hey, you run the ball a lot, you have all season long, despite really not running it effectively all season long. Oh, yeah. Well, throwing the ball's scary. I'll paraphrase. That's what he's saying right there, Dor. Throwing the ball is scary. Throwing the ball makes him feel uncomfortable. That, to me, is the most tacit admission from Tomlin that I can remember that he says things like, scared money don't make money. He says things like, you can't live in your fears. That's all they do is live in their fears. And that's why they're 10-7 again. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning. You're absolutely right. I watched that press conference yesterday, and I was floored by what he said there. Like, you talk about we don't live in our fears, and you live in your fears every single week. So you're trying to tell me that the method to your madness going into the last game of the season, knowing what's at stake, which everything is literally at stake, even though that you're already in the playoffs, that the best route to success is to run the football and to minimize the times and the possessions of Joe Burrow. That is the definition of living in your fears. Alongside, if you rewind weeks until the last time that you played, well, the first time that you played the Bengals, you took a different route that proved success. So what are we doing here? What are we doing here? This is every single year. This is every single week, the last how many weeks? We don't live in our fears. You absolutely live in your fears every single week. You're trying to control the game with not letting the game control the game.
Yes.
You're trying to control the game. That's not how you're going to win, especially this coming week.
Absolutely, it ain't going to work this coming week. The Ravens' pass defense has been really good since the first time these two teams played, but the Ravens' run defense has been really good all year. You know how you keep the football? You get first downs.
Yes.
You know how you don't make the yard to gain? Running the football. This team does it a lot, doesn't do it well. The first time they played, they held the ball for 31 minutes and 9 seconds, which isn't some huge disparity in time of possession, but you had it more than they did, and you dropped back and you threw it 40 times, and you put up 44 points. Mike Tomlin didn't get outcoached by Zach Taylor. Mike Tomlin outcoached himself. And I didn't really get into the whole offensive coordinator thing yesterday. There was a lot to get to. I don't think very much of this at all is on Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith is a hot head coaching candidate, which tells me two things. One, he's respected despite these recent results, which if he's doing this all on his own, he probably shouldn't be respected enough to get head coaching interviews. The other thing it tells me is, I bet you he wants out of here. I'm purely speculating on that, but the coordinators have changed. Fichtner in Canada and Arthur Smith, and the results are the same.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks have changed. The results are the same. The players have changed. The offensive linemen have changed. The results are the same. This isn't a Mike Tomlin issue. This isn't an Arthur Smith issue. And that's why it's Groundhog Day every single time that you get close to the playoffs.
I mean, Arthur Smith was in Bali or something whenever Mike Tomlin gave him a call and he was on vacation, you know, chilling and just being like, you know, I'm going to take the best situation. And if you're a guy like Arthur Smith who just got fired as being a head coach, I mean, and then, you know, obviously, you know, his background, you're not hurting for money, right? So if you're going to take the best situation, what is the number one thing you probably ask for in a situation whenever everything else really doesn't matter? It's probably the control of what you want to do. And I bet you that that was probably promised, which we've heard that Mike Tomlin has promised people, players, coaches, that portion of the job a lot, has promised control, has promised playing time, has promised things. And I'm sure that Mike Tomlin gave his spiel, and you know, he's a good talker, he's a great salesman, was like, you'll have full control of what you want to do on offense. And then Arthur Smith gets here and he finds out he doesn't have full control. Because you follow the trends, right? We like to follow trends in life, right? What are the trends? The trend is exactly what you just said, Crowley. This is not an Arthur Smith situation. This has been going on for years now.
Years.
The same thing. It's been going on for years.
And you know what, Doran? I think that this was Arthur Smith's offense for a while.
Yes, I agree.
And you know when I think it turned? I think it turned at that Ravens game. The second Ravens game.
I think it started leaking whenever they made the switch to Russ. I think that I personally think that Arthur Smith wanted to keep rolling with Justin. That's just me. But I see what you're saying. Like I think it started leaking then, and then the Ravens game.
The Ravens game for me, because Russell Wilson, I thought, played really well, except for the two times he didn't. And that was the long run where he fumbled at the goal line. Steelers would have taken a 14-7 lead, by the way, with like 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. And then the pick six at the end was the worst throw, arguably, of his Steelers career. And that wasn't a game that they got blown out of the water in. It really wasn't. That game hinged upon two turnovers. And what does Mike Tomlin hate?
Yep.
Turnovers.
Yep.
And I think from that point forward, it's been, let's be as risk-averse as possible, and it ultimately culminated in that just garbage offensive performance against the Cincinnati Bengals. And we got numbers to back it up, too. This from Jerry Dulac's piece in the Post-Gazette yesterday. He did the work so I didn't have to. I love when people do that. With the exception of the two-minute drill at the end of the first half, the Steelers ran the ball on 12 out of 12 first downs. That's until they fell behind 19-7. So they threw it on a couple of first downs on that two-minute drill at the end of the first half. Apart from that, every other time they ran the ball until they're down two scores. And Mike Tomlin, just with a megaphone, told all of us why they did that in his press conference yesterday.
Yes.
And it's because it's dangerous to throw the ball. Buddy, this ain't really complicated. Doran, you've forgotten more about football than I'll ever know about football. You sit here and you talk with Bostic and you talk with Whaley, and sometimes it's like it goes over my head. It's like Portuguese. The Bengals know what you're going to do.
Yes.
And to further it out, to make it a global thing, Mike Tomlin would say, you just ain't going to win.
No.
At a high level doing that in the NFL. That kind of crap is good enough to get you to 10, to get you to 9, to have you in the hunt every single year. Because you play a lot of bad and poorly coached football teams. But when it's nut-cutting time, when the rubber meets the road, and you're playing the best of the best, and you run the ball every first down, you ain't winning. It's why you start slow every week. Because you're trying to impose your will and you're trying to break the dam eventually. It's why they were good in the second half, I think, for most of the year. Because it's a war of attrition. We're going to beat people down. Okay. Well, now when you play good teams, they're getting the jump on you. And they're up. And that's what's happened in the playoffs in recent history, too, where they've been down in every single playoff game after the first quarter that they've played going back for 8 years.
Well, if I'm a player as well, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking, just in my mind, like I'd be questioning our procedure, because is that the way that we really want to head into the playoffs? That's the bigger situation here. It's not about the Cincinnati Bengals game and what we did there. It's about every team tries to create momentum and tries to create positive things within offense and within defense to head into the playoffs, and you're just hitting things full steam, right? I'm questioning, like, okay, so that was our game plan for Cincinnati. All right, I get that, but why are we worried about that? We should be worried about being on the same page heading into the playoffs and going to Baltimore.
Right.
Or going to Houston, wherever they were going to end up.
That's a great point by you. Like, it shouldn't be, all right, let's limit the risk.
It's not about that game.
And keep the ball away from Joe. No. Start to get the engines rolling for the playoffs. I remember during my esteemed athletic career, I did crew. And in the wintertime, this is torturous. I think if there is hell, if hell really exists, my hell is going to be on one of those rowing machines, the ergs. My coach gave me a big compliment one time because he was counting down to the start of one of our erg races. And I started rowing already 10 seconds before the race started so that my thing was spinning already.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do going into the playoffs.
Right, right.
That's the only athleticism or the athletic feat that I can draw from it. You want to get that thing going before the real race starts. And the real race is Saturday against Baltimore. And if you think you're going to go in there and run the ball on 12 consecutive non-end of first half first downs, you are going to get waxed. Now I'm imagining Eva Longoria getting a Brazilian wax. Oh, you're going to get crushed. So you didn't warm up to it.
No.
You tried to win really a meaningless game. Stupid.
It makes zero sense.
When the Steelers were 10-3, the reason why some of us, and I'll definitely me, thought that they could win multiple playoff games is because we saw them throw the ball to win late against Washington, and then Russ threw for 414 yards against Cincinnati. The reason why pundits were saying, wow, the Steelers are scary, the Steelers are dangerous, one of the teams mentioned, oh, who can challenge the Chiefs, is because they had a quarterback and an offense that was playing at a level that you need to play at to win in the postseason. The reason nobody's taking them seriously now is because they've turned into this plodding running team.
Yes.
That's having zero success on the ground and has become probably the most predictable outfit in the entire league. And they're predictable on defense, too. All of that is coaching. All of it. 412-928-9370. You say you've got all kind of takes, all kind of opinions that have been marinating over the course of break. We will get to them over the course of the morning. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. If you want to text us, we'd love to have you at 412-928-9370. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I'm going to tell you how I think this playoff game is going to go, and I wonder if you agree. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Intern Dom DiTomaso, in for Nicholas Harry Callis today. He said he bought a shirt yesterday, didn't wash it, now he's itchy. So the Twitter poll, at least one of them, is when you buy a shirt at the store, do you wash it before you wear it?
Mm.
I don't know that I ever have.
I don't think I have ever.
I just slap it on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the weather, Dom.
I think he's got dry skin.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay, I was afraid I got some disease.
I mean, you might have. I wouldn't rule it out, but that's a risk I've always taken. Now, if I'm buying underpants, even in a package, I am going to wash those because it is my package we're talking about after all. Jeans, I always wash because they got the dye on them, depending on the wash. And if you wear them right out of the store and you got like sweaty hands or something, which I always do in the winter, and you, I touch myself. I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, man.
I'm a nervous toucher, you know? Like I'll rub my knee or whatever. And then my hands will be blue. So I'll always wash the jeans, but not the shirt.
I think Dom has a better chance of getting a disease in college than he does with his shirt.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You should see some of the frat houses up at Syracuse.
Yeah, I'm sure they're lit. Studying sports books and stuff.
Always wear a raincoat, Dom. That's all. That's all I'll say on that. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Here's a really good text at 412-928-9370. Tomlin played conservatively in a meaningless game that we didn't need to win. The most important thing was to get the offense going.
Yep.
That is so well said.
Yep.
Hey, okay, go out there, slang that rock, try to score instead of keeping the ball away from Cincinnati, which you didn't do that anyway. They held it for 38 minutes. You held it for 22 minutes. And if you get beat playing that way, so what? Who cares? Yeah. it doesn't really mean anything. You're either going to Baltimore or you're going to Houston. And if you're not a team that lives in your fears, then you're playing for the fifth seed or you're playing for the sixth seed. Come on.
Yeah.
So that's telling. And then the way he talked about it yesterday is telling. Because he wasn't only talking about that game. When he said it's, and I'm paraphrasing, safer to run the ball than to throw the ball. He was talking writ large about the entire season. All right, here's how the game's going to go on Saturday. You tell me if you agree. They're going to come out. We're going to blink. It's going to be 10-0, 14-0 Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll score, make it a one-score game, probably get the ball back before the half, maybe get a little something-something going, cut it to like 14-10. Second half thing gets away from them.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it's going to go.
Yep. I mean, I'm going to factor weather in.
Yes.
I guess, you know, hearing that there's going to be a lot of snow, so I don't know if that's going to favor the Steelers. Or that's going to favor the Ravens. I haven't gotten there yet. I will get there at some point this week. But I can see exactly what you're saying. Like, they'll get close. Well, they'll be a big gap. They'll get close. They'll shrink the gap. And then the gap will just enlarge.
Yes. I don't think the Steelers cover. I think it's a competitive game in the second half. And then I think the Ravens say, all right, enough playing with our
10,
food.
10 now?
It's 10. Later on in the show, I want to get to that number. And whether it's disrespectful or not. Because I thought Starkey started really strong yesterday. And he talked about the number. And the history between these two teams. When the Steelers play playoff games, they fall behind. When the Steelers have played good teams recently, they've fallen behind. They had to fight their way back against Philadelphia. And were unable to close that gap. They had to fight their way back against Kansas City. And then the gap grew bigger. Against Cincinnati, they're down 19-7. Well, against Jacksonville in the playoffs, many moons ago, down 21-0. When they played Cleveland without a head coach, and you have your Hall of Fame quarterback trying to win a playoff game at the end of his career, Cleveland's out to a 28-0 lead. Kansas City, 35-7. Buffalo, 21-0. They don't even give you a chance to have hope. It used to be in this town where the regular season would end and you would be bumping along to Wiz Khalifa or Roy Wood Jr. And you would think, okay, they got a shot against anybody. And I did the show yesterday. Maybe I didn't do it the right way, but I did the show yesterday as if the season's over.
Right. Because we know how it's going to go.
We know how it's going to go.
We know exactly how it's going to go.
Like this team has a 0% chance of winning the Super Bowl. Zero. Are they the worst team in the field?
Oh, no doubt. What percentage chance do they have winning Saturday, though? Like, realistically. 0% chance winning Super Bowl. I think we can all agree there. I mean, I don't even know if I give them that much more on Saturday, honestly. Because I know exactly how it's going to go. Unless what we talked about before the show is if they come out and they look like a whole different team, especially on offense. If they were just hiding and holding their cards close to their vest because they didn't want to show anything, which I think is, you know, it's dumb in football anymore.
If that's what they did, if they tried to lull the Ravens into a false sense of security, or Houston, whomever they'd play, by dumbing it down and being vanilla as vanilla can be on offense against the Bengals, and they come out slinging the thing all over the place and they win the football game, I'll heap a lot of praise on
Tom. Same here.
That's smart coaching.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Nope.
Because what makes us think that they're going to do that? Now, if you ask the question, what's the percentage chance of them winning the game? I mean, I just told you how I think it's going to go. But I'll still put it at 25%. Because for all the things we've said about Mike Tomlin, he gets over on John Harbaugh.
He does.
And they get over on Lamar Jackson. I think I have a really good question about Lamar for you coming up next.
I was going to ask you a question, but it might be the same question, so I'm going to wait for your question.
No, why don't you ask me the question?
Because
we don't really talk all that much when we're apart,
because
we see each other for 4 hours a day, and I don't want to annoy you. But we're always generally on the same page.
Yeah.
Ask me.
Who has more pressure in this game?
We'll talk about that next.
because I work with this group every day. I'm excited about it. We're very familiar with this team. We know how to play this group. And so that's where our focus is as we get prepared for this one.
When Mike Tomlin did his preamble at the start of the press conference, he wasn't given a lot of credence to, we know how to beat these guys. And then when his playoff losing streak came up, that was the answer that he gave. There is not a lot of pressure on Tomlin from a job security standpoint. We know that. But he talked about toting baggage. He understands he hasn't won a playoff game in a long time. So there's pressure on him to buck that trend. I think there's pressure on Russell Wilson. You want to be in the league anymore? Or do you want this to be it? You can't play like you have the last 4 weeks. And then, of course, there's pressure on Lamar Jackson, who's 2-5 against the Steelers, 2-4, more importantly, in the playoffs. And at this point in his career, the only multiple-time MVP to not have won at least a Super Bowl. So, who's the pressure on? It's on everybody.
It is.
Who do you think's got the most pressure on him?
It is. I think that you just laid that out perfectly.
Thank you.
I mean, just great, because there's only pressure whenever there's risk of losing something, right? There's only pressure of not performing and then having the consequences.
Your first day back.
Yeah. Of what's going to happen on the backside. And Tomlin doesn't have consequences. Lamar Jackson and possibly John Harbaugh might have consequences for losing. Like, Lamar Jackson can't be a three-time MVP, get so close last year, and then be out in the playoffs this after getting Derrick Henry and doing what they did this year, having his best year as an NFL player and an unbelievable year overall as any player that we've ever seen, and then lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have played horrible football for the last month in the first round. That's bad.
I think it's him too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a 10-point spread. You're at home. You were so close last year, you could almost taste it. Feel the rain on your skin. Release your inhibitions. Whatever. To lose to the hated rival as a double-digit favorite at home when, for them, it's not about just winning a game. It's about winning all the games.
Yep.
Dan Marino's an all-time great. He might be the best pure passer of the football we've ever seen. But he's always going to get hit with, he never won one.
Yep.
And if Lamar Jackson, and he could be, and probably should be the MVP this year, arguable him or Josh Allen, if you win another one, even if you don't, but you never win the big game, you're going to be saddled with that for your entire life.
Yeah, Josh Allen too.
Same deal.
Yeah, same deal. Now, with the Steelers, like, I mean, there's Pittsburgh pressure, I guess. Which is what? What is the pressure from us for the Steelers this coming season if they lose on Saturday? Like that they don't even bat an eye at the fans or the people who support the Steelers or even us or anything, because internally they're not going to change.
Mulsey asked a great question yesterday to that point. He said, how many years of not winning a playoff game does it take before the organization says, oh my God, we need a change with the top guy? I think it's when the national narrative winds up paralleling the local narrative. I think that because Mike Tomlin has still been viewed so favorably by the national media, the Steelers are still respected, the brand is still respected, and Mike Tomlin is absolutely respected. Until he becomes a laughingstock, I think he's going to be around.
Will that ever happen?
I think the tides are turning a little bit.
Do you?
Ryan Clark called him out. Troy Aikman was really hard on him during the broadcast. ESPN even flashed the graphic, 3-8 in the last 11 playoff games for Mike Tomlin. I think it's starting to turn. But then you flip on ESPN yesterday, and in the morning, the graphic says, does Tomlin deserve, and I'm paraphrasing here, something along the lines of, does he deserve more praise for where they are or criticism?
Yep.
How is that even a discussion? What's the argument for praise? So I think that's what it's going to take. Now, how long the playoff losing skid has to go, I don't know. But I think you need the national narrative to be, wow, these guys can't get it done when it matters. I think it needs to be, wow, Tomlin's culpable for this on a national scale before we ever see anything change.
I don't want to be totally doom and gloom here because, you know, that's just not our show, but we have to be for real. I mean, we're honest. But I am very curious because we both don't see the Steelers winning Saturday. What's the message from Rooney? What is it this year? What's the message this year after the season?
Right, if it was, we need to win a playoff game.
An urgency.
And then you do operate different in the offseason so that you can win a playoff game. If you don't win one, I mean, are you going to bring Arthur Smith back? You're going to bring Terrell Austin back? You're going to bring Mike Tomlin back?
Are they scapegoats, those two guys that you mentioned first, Arthur Smith and Terrell Austin? Like, what's the message?
Caboli said yesterday he doesn't think that Austin's going anywhere. They're not going to let go of Arthur Smith. The only way that that happens is if he takes a head coaching job. I mean, they're not going to fire a guy going into year two. Austin would make a lot of sense to me. But Caboli says there's still another year left on his deal. And, boy, they were loath to even do it with Matt Canada.
Yeah, they're not doing it. Yeah, you're working for your money.
So how can we argue that the pressure is on Tomlin when there's no repercussions? When there's not going to be repercussions for his coordinator? What, are they going to get rid of the offensive line coach, Pat Meyer? I mean, I think that would make some sense, given the inability to run the football and the lack of development with some of these offensive linemen. But, like, that doesn't move the needle. So,
I mean, pressure's not on T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward, because if they sit there and they're on their couch and they're having a drink or whatever, and they look at their career, they're probably going to be Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if they don't win one.
I think the pressure that they put on themselves is probably, like, they
put it on themselves.
Yeah.
But realistically, there's no pressure. Not for what their probably end goal is. I mean, obviously, it's a Super Bowl. If it's not, then you want to be regarded as one of the best players ever.
Yeah, because they're not quarterbacks.
Right.
Like, it'll be mentioned when you have long-form discussions years down the road about Cam Hayward or T.J. Watt, but it won't be one of the first things that's mentioned.
No.
That's the case for Lamar. As for Russ, like, can you play yourself out of the Hall of Fame? Like, he was a Hall of Famer.
I think it's the longevity of it. It's like, how long did you actually play, and where's the window that you did play out of it? Like, so Russ is in, what, his 14th year? So I think that he's past the window of playing out of it. I think it's in the 10-year window.
Because you're not in your prime, right, and your expectations change.
And it's like, wow, you're actually playing that long. We're going to give you credit for playing that long. I think that he's played out of that window of playing out of it.
Yeah, this is his 13th season.
Yeah.
I think the pressure's on him because he said upon being signed by the Steelers, he wanted to feel the cold steel of that trophy, not just one more time, but a couple more times. And so there's that pressure on him. He wants to win another championship. But more than that, if he goes out there and throws three picks, are you going to be a NFL quarterback next year? I'm not even sure if he does that, the Steelers don't bring him back, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think the pressure's on Lamar. I think the most pressure's on Lamar. What say you? 412-928-9370. I think that's a good Twitter poll as well, Doran. On Twitter, @_AdamCrowley, @Scorin. Doran, we'll take some of your calls when we come back on the pressure question. Jeff Hathorn coming up at the top of the hour. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Jeff will be on that Fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Could be snowy in Baltimore.
Mm.
And we've kind of gone back and forth on who that favors. I think Baltimore. I think. Better running team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Lamar's also the better passer in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He just is.
Mm-hmm.
So you could neutralize that and maybe make him one-dimensional. They might not have Zay Flowers. I don't know. We're kind of smacking that around.
Yeah.
Is cold a bigger deal or is the snow a bigger deal?
Snow because of traction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be that cold. It'll be 28 degrees.
No. Cold has – no. As long as you have traction in the cold, you're fine. But snow, like, you're slipping around and it just – everything is off. It's like backyard football. It's different.
You feel like it might give the Steelers a better chance of covering.
For sure. Or the under.
The under, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it favors the Ravens because Mike Tomlin's conservative by nature anyhow. And if the elements are an issue, I could see them handing the ball off 60 flipping times.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that's a recipe for success in the playoffs, unless you've got like the Eagles line and Saquon Barkley.
Right, right.
That changes things. But you don't. You have Najee Harris in the Steelers' offensive line. So I think it favors the Ravens, ultimately. I do kind of hope that there's a little bit of precipitation. Maybe not enough to blanket the field, but just for a snow globe effect.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Nothing like last year in Buffalo.
No.
Where they're moving the game and there's hurricane strength winds.
Unbelievable.
How about Cam Hayward playing in 13-degree feels-like temperatures with the flu?
Oh.
In a game that really doesn't matter. He was outstanding.
Great.
We'll get into this maybe later on in the show, but he's one of the big winners from this year, I think. There's a lot of guys who didn't live up to expectation. He surpassed every expectation. And you and I weren't the dudes who said, don't pay him. He's old. He stinks. But I don't know that I thought he would play at an all-pro level.
Mm-hmm.
And he played at an all-pro level this year. All right, Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, he's going to join us next. We'll ask him the question we kicked around. More pressure on Lamar or Russell Wilson? What does pressure really mean for Mike Tomlin? Did he really buy that Mike Tomlin didn't see George Pickens get into it with a fan? All that and more with our sports director, Jeff, when we come back. But first, well, there's nothing. It's a Fan Morning Show.